like to know about the roles of singers in Halloween's style. For example, Andy, Carl, and Michael Kiske have their own different style of singing. Would you tell me how much it affected the style of the band's music?
Well, for me as a songwriter, it was kind of getting difficult, you know, with the voice of Michael Kiske, which is perfect, really good, really elaborate and whatever, but then always kind of the same. If you wanted to make a rock and roll or rock song or something heavy, you know, that requires shouting or grumbling or growling or something.
Yeah.
He really wasn't good for that. You know? Mm. So if you want to have something like nothing to say or something else, you know, you would always have like some Elvis on steroids or something.
Right.
And it was also, you know, he could do that because if you listen to his recent recordings, he managed to do that. He can now growl or sing a little bit more distorted or whatever he can. Mm. Next time he just didn't want. Because he was afraid of harming his vocal cords, whatever,
yeah.
And then actually then you can do those things. And Darius is a shouter, you know, he's like there with variety and stuff and technique, several techniques and sounds that he can maintain or create. And to me that was very impressive and you know, also very powerful, you know, for a certain approach of songwriting, you know, that you want to do. You can't do a Hair of the Dog of Nazareth with Michael Kiske, you know, that would sound strange.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always like shouters.
Right.
And singers as well. And, you know, the best guy there is probably is Bruce Dickinson or something, or Ian Gillan or Jan Lande or something, you know, that they can sing, they can shout, they can do this, they can do that. And I would have appreciated it, you know, and instead we had like lots of discussions and lots of changing of attitude, you know. Michael, he was like a normal guy,
yeah.
a general guy, and then, you know, suddenly he turned to be vegetarian and he had like religious ideas and you know, he was sharing that stuff so much, you know, that sometimes you really got enough of that. You didn't want to share so much.
Yeah.
And think about those things here. You also wanted to do tracks and music and hits and Halloween tracks and you know, be successful or whatever, because we don't want to play in small clubs for 50 people only.
Right.
That's not what was the idea behind this whole thing. And yeah, there you go. And those are the differences. And then, you know, it comes to a point where it's boiling. But then you want to have decisions, right?
Yeah, I see. Okay, you mentioned Bruce Dickinson, but I'd like to know your opinion, thoughts about Ronnie James Dio, as he's more than a singer to me. He's some kind of, you know, he's a father to me, you know. So I'd like to know your opinion about him.
Well, I mean, he's the one, you know? So he's always been like very magical ever since he did recordings. You know, it was noted by lots of people, his voice and the way of singing and whatever, and it seemed so magical.
Yeah.
And you know, it touched your soul and your heart and whatever, and that seemingly by that time was the best voice for hard rock or rock in general or metal or whatever, you know. When people got to him first, it was like, ooh, what a voice, who is he,
yeah? Yeah.
And that's absolutely clear, that's clear. I mean, you have that with Freddie Mercury and other people. But even Freddie Mercury can shout, and like, shout is one word for Dio, it's a synonym, right?
Yeah.
And that's the stuff, you know, that I always liked, you know. I always had difficulties with people telling me I cannot shout because I want to take care of my brilliant, wonderful opera voice, you know.
Yeah.
That's understandable. It's understandable. Okay, but try. And then he doesn't want to try. And yeah, you know this. I've been working with a few great singers before Halloween. And that's a line where it goes, you know. Then you have Queensryche, okay, then he sings like that, Geoff Tate sings like that, and yeah, actually, you should be glad to have a singer like Michael Kiske, but then you're not really glad having so many discussions with a guy like that.
Right.
You know, if you want to get some work done, you want to have some fun doing music and not, you know, have so many discussions about this and that, even though you seemingly have the same opinion about things and don't know where all the trouble is coming from and all the concurrence and all the greed and I don't know, you know.
Right. Okay. Okay, when I'm listening to the old songs like Eagle Fly Free and or I Want Out, that they are my favorite songs, and or Priest, Painkiller, or Hallowed Be Thy Name by Maiden, I mean traditional metal, I feel those days were very different, you know, pure art. Do you have the same feeling?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's that's classic, as you said. You know, I don't know why that shouldn't be allowed, but then there's a tendency of fans or media,
yeah,
to say now we need rather something more like Nickelback, you know, or we need something like whatever, and that's just you know using a name for modern means or whatever. It has to be like this, and then. It's like you don't want tracks, you don't want hits, you don't want songwritings, because it's all been done before, people say.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, that doesn't go. It's not an argument, because there will be new hits and new tracks. Like, if you have now a Bruno Mars, for instance, yeah? You see it's possible that you have some new track, some new hit, like if it's whistling, or if you have something that sounds like The Police or something,
yeah.
Or if you have Robbie Williams go, "Let me entertain you," it's possible to come up with a new hit.
Yeah.
And then even if you have like, whoa, 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 that's also a new hit.
Yeah.
So you can do this. It's possible. And you don't have to repeat yourself and do something that's so boring, that's strumming guitar and some gargling melody across it that says nothing, more or less, than so many people still buy it and want to have it and make certain bands, you know, the biggest bands of all time, you know, then for me that's like a lack of taste and mediocrity, yeah?
Yeah.
And then that's not, you know, where you want to go and what you want to adjust yourself to. If you're a fan of, if I do something like Raise the Noise or something, it's really contrary to those other things that you can possibly do. Yeah, then I go like, okay, I make real boring songs and go like, blah, 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 1, 2, 3, 4, blah, blah, blah. I don't do that.
Yeah. Okay, can you tell me, how do you see the future for Halloween? I mean, what's your plan for the next 10 days, for example?
We are in rehearsals for the next tour and for the show that we are going to have on 70,000 tons of metal on that cruise ship.
Yeah.
There will be 2 concerts, and that's what we are rehearsing for soon. I'm going to leave for rehearsals on the 20th.
Yeah.
And then we do some more rehearsals for the tour, and then the tour will commence in end of February. And then we will go and do this, and go and go and go.
So hopefully, and, hopefully more albums in the future, maybe next 2 years or 3 years. Am I right?
Yeah, as Charlie Bauerfeind has said, if just like every album and project, you know, was as easy and loyal as this one, he'd be glad. And so maybe we succeed in having a few more of those. That would be cool.
Okay, my fingers are crossed. Okay.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, thank you. Time to go, because we want to go to a Persian restaurant today, as I told you in the beginning.
Wish you a great time and success.
Yeah.
For you and Halloween.
You too, all the best. Thanks for your interest.
Oh, thanks to you.
Bye.